Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns in four.
One, two, three, four.
4 minutes of nonstop Suns news, highlights, and takes on the team. Brought to you by 72 Sold, 72sold.com, where you can sell your home in 72 hours for thousands more than selling the traditional way.
Suns in four.
Yep, Suns took their 12-game winning streak on the road to San Antonio to start a four-game trip. Weird geographic trip, too. Texas to Ohio to back-to-backs in New York before they return home. But the Spurs providing the competition, the well-rested Spurs. And the Suns did not start out as hot as they did the other night against Denver, where they blistered the Nets for 48 points. But they did lead by four after a one quarter of play, Bic, 24-20. Into the second quarter we go as we pick up the highlights from John Bloom and Tim Kempton, and Cameron Payne coming off the bench, making his presence felt early in the second quarter.
Payne plays catch with Bridges, then tries a long three and buys that long three from a couple steps beyond the arc.
Yeah, Cameron Payne, three of his 20 points off the bench. At that point, Suns led by five, 27-22. That lead would grow to double digits after a JaVale McGee turnaround fadeaway shot from 11 feet. That put them up 12. The lead continued to hover around double digits, and we saw some more aggressiveness from DeAndre Ayton later in the second.
Backs it out to Book between the circles with 12 on the shot clock. Now Ayton sets a screen for him, rolls into the lane, gets the pass, and then dunks it home with the right hand off a beautiful feed.
Yep, DeAndre Ayton with the driving dunk there. 43-33, Suns would lead by 13 at the half, 57-44. That would take us into the third quarter. Devin Booker started to heat up.
Here comes Book into the forecourt. Thought about stepping into the three in transition. Instead, maintains his dribble. Now he will try a three and buy a three from the left wing over Bates Diop.
Yeah, two threes early in the third. The lead grew to 18 on that one called by John Bloom, 64-46. But the Spurs, they wouldn't go away.
No.
Devin Vassell, who had his one big game as rookie season against the Suns at the end of the year, he brought them back within six in the third quarter. But then Landry Shamet to close out the third, kind of stretch that lead out once again.
Campaign now with 5 seconds, going to penetrate, swing it to Shamet, right corner three on the way, and cash for Landry Shamet with 0.6 seconds left to go in the quarter.
15-point lead at that point going into the fourth. Easy times, right? Nope. The Spurs would cut the lead to 5 points at the 6:08 mark. Jakob Poeltl got a layup. It's 195.
Mm-hmm.
Suns call a timeout, and you're thinking, uh-oh. They immediately come out, hit the switch, and Mikal Bridges had a lot
pass
to do with it.
Pass out to Paul. Open for three. CP3 missed it strong, but the rebound in the hands of Bridges. He'll go back into the lane with it. Spin, shoot, and hit it. Count that, baby, and the foul. Mikal Bridges with a chance at a three-point play.
106-95. Bridges hit the free throw, 107-95. Booker would then hit a three to put the Suns back up by 15. But again,
yeah.
The Spurs, with that that horror movie villain kind of thing going on, would not die. Devin Vassell.
Now Murray brings it the other way for Vassell. Straightaway three. Got another one. 38.6 seconds left. It's a five-point game, 114-106. Devin Vassell, 3 of 5 from deep tonight.
Yep, five-point game at that point, 114-109. Under a minute to go, Chris Paul with an untimely turnover.
And now DeJounte Murray pokes it away, a steal on Chris Paul. He'll take it the length of the floor and lay it in with 15.2 seconds left. It's a three-point game, 114-111. Chris Paul took his eye off it, and Murray got the steal and the bucket.
That was followed by Devin Booker on an inbounds pass getting tied up for a jump ball in the Spurs end of the court. And you're thinking, oh, man, are the Suns going to blow this? Booker tips the ball to the side. It's going out of bounds, and he showed great hustle to get to that ball and drew the foul.
It looked to me like he lost the jump ball to Lonnie Walker there, but Ben was smart enough to hustle and track it down.
Yeah, just beat everybody to it.
But then he only made one of two free throws again. This is just bizarre.
Suns clutch time free throw shooting has not been good this year.
No, it has not.
They were able to hang
DeJounte
on.
DeJounte Murray between the circles. Dribbles against Cam Johnson. Right side it goes to Derek White. Penetrates. Spurs taking their time. Here's a corner three. No good from Vassell. Taken by Booker, and that will do it. Time expires on the Spurs, and the Suns win their 13th in a row. 115-111, Suns win and continue this win streak.
Yeah, John Bloom calling the action from the AT&T Center. 13 games in a row. After the Suns started 1-3, look, we knew it was going to get better, but for them to completely flip the switch and go on this win streak, I don't care who you're playing.
They're still nowhere near their ceiling.
That's the scary part about
it.
This
really game. Is. This really is quite something, and it's very, very encouraging. Last night, it like I said, San Antonio. The thing you knew you're going to get from them, you're going to get sincerity of effort. Greg Popovich would demand nothing less. They came off a 30-minute team meeting after a loss to Portland, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And so they were going to be on it. They were going to give you an honest fight, and that's exactly what they did. Luckily for the Suns, as you pointed out, the Spurs were 5 of 20 from three-point land. They were 8 of 16 from the free throw line. So if the Spurs could have shot a lick, this might have been that loss. As it turns out, it wasn't, and on we go. Once again, I said this earlier, the thing I really liked about the game was watching D.A. a couple more elements to his game that you just haven't seen before. Mm-hmm. And if he can keep developing that where if he can score in ways other than alley-oops, that's going to add another dimension to the Suns' offense.
Yeah, absolutely. DeAndre Ayton, after he scored 21, grabbed 14 rebounds, talked about the winning streak, but put it in perspective.
At the end of the day, you know, it's 82 games left in the season. And, you know, last year, you know, we know how it feels to get happy on the farm and, you know, to celebrate today. But we're not working for today. You know, we're working for the big stage of that. And, you know, I'm glad we have a swag and a mentality where, you know, we just winning games, working on us. Not trying to just go out here and just beat teams, but we're working on something way bigger than what the league is thinking. You know what I'm saying? Especially for the long, long run. You know, so we know it's a long season, but it's just us doing the right things and playing our type of game and us playing together like how we always do. Just, you know, just fulfilling our culture like we always been. And you're not changing.
Not getting happy on the farm. Do they get a bonus every time they use a Monty of them?
It's sort of like when Paul Bissonnette came on our radio show and said in Ottawa.
Yeah, and he got all of his assignments in.
We found out about it a month later. When he played us like fiddles. Does anybody play fiddles anymore, Jarrett?
Fiddle players do.
The devil?
That's true.
Charlie Daniels.
Jason Fitz.
Yeah, there you go. We've had Jason on the show before. 115-111, Suns win it over the Spurs. They move on to Cleveland now as that road trip continues. Coming up at the bye week for the Cardinals, the standings say they're the best. Are they? We'll get into that and more next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Marotta.
Dan Bickley and Vince Marotta.
Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
That was a point of emphasis, so to see our guys come out and start fast like we did was great. Really set the tone for the entire day.
That's Cliff Kingsbury, the head coach of the Cardinals. Weekly visit with Wolf and Luke yesterday here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. That following a 23-13 win by the Cardinals over the Seahawks. Gets them to 9-2 against sole possession of the best record in the NFL as they head to the bye. And we touched on it yesterday, but Cliff talking about it there, that, you know, if that was a point of emphasis, man, they checked that box in a big way to come out. And really, it's rare to see both the offense and defense come out and set tones early.
Yeah.
The Cardinals did that by getting the back-to-back sacks. Sure, the Seahawks on that first drive played into the Cardinals' hands by throwing the football after a successful run on first down. But to get the back-to-back sacks, hey, that's a sign, a tone setter for Russell Wilson, letting him know it's not going to be easy all day.
Oh, yeah.
And then they punt the ball to the Cardinals, who just go on a 16-play, 82-yard drive that takes 9 minutes off the clock, and they score a touchdown. The tone was set. I expected, actually, after that beginning, a much easier time. And it probably should have been an easier time for the Cardinals, all things considered.
On that first, one of the small turning points, on that first possession of the game for the Cardinals, Colt McCoy was sacked and he fumbled. But he recovered the football himself. At that point in time, the graphic read 8 13 fumbles by the Cardinals, by far the most in the NFL, but they had only lost three of them. There have been a lot of oopsies from Kyler Murray. There have been a lot of bad snaps.
Saw that again on Sunday.
Yes, you did. But then it was Rondale Moore at that point in time. He took a little tiny dump off pass and he turned it into a first down. At that point in time, who was ever doing the dudes was just astonished that Rondale Moore found a crease to get through. So what my point is that, that the idea of complementary football, guys were making plays all around Colt McCoy, and somehow they were able to keep converting third downs, which I think is what made Pete Carroll's brain explode. Not literally, but figuratively, because I think it did
after the game. Maybe literally.
Maybe literally, too. He wasn't making a whole lot of sense after the game. So to me, the genius of this, so they have an opening drive that goes 16 plays, 82 yards. It's 9 minutes and 20 seconds of possession time, and it was all dinking and dunking. And I thought to myself, that's something. When you've got an offense that does not vertically challenge a defense, and you've got a good game on tape and a bad game on tape, to come back as Colt McCoy in that offense and find a way to sustain these drives with just really safe kind of calls,
sure.
There's an art to that.
And he found that.
He got into the right lane and stayed there.
And I think that's been a hallmark of the Cardinals' 9 wins this year, whether it's Colt McCoy, a quarterback, or Kyler Murray, a quarterback, is this ability to unleash these long drives. Mm-hmm. Cliff Kingsbury talked about that with Wolf and Luke yesterday as well.
We definitely wanted to try and keep it away from Russell. Anytime you have your backup quarterback playing against one of the top guys in the league, you want to keep the ball away from him. Regardless of how well Colt was playing, we wanted to possess the football and not give that big play offense a lot of shots at it. And our guys did a tremendous job of converting some third downs and keeping the chains moving that allowed us to do that.
That's the beauty of this looking forward after the bye. Again, Kyler Murray back at quarterback, ideally. So we've seen them be able to operate in either way.
Yeah.
Hey, you need a long drive? Hey, we can convert third downs.
Mm-hmm.
We can be patient and take what the defense gives us and continue to move the chains. Or when you have Kyler Murray, a quarterback, with his ability to get out of the pocket and make things happen down the field in the passing game, you have quick strike ability too. It's pretty much a nightmare to defend when they're clicking.
Well, and then you think about the emotional state of that game. I had mentioned yesterday how pessimistic I was after Rashad Penny's 18-yard gain to start the game. But from that point forward, okay, that drive completely melted down.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Cardinals with Colt McCoy go on this lengthy journey down the field. Then you get the Zach Ertz taunt spike, which kind of really sucker punched all Seahawks fans.
I was a little disappointed in Zach with that amount of taunting.
Yeah, but he's not thinking of the kids, man.
No, I mean,
he's not thinking of the kids.
Not at all. And there were kids in that section,
too,
I'm
sure. Did you see his posture on that?
Yeah, he was definitely posturing. And then Seattle gets the ball back the next time. Russell Wilson throws a pitch out that Alex Collins is not even looking for, and they enact a give-up down on 3rd and 20, and the crowd is booing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're 2 possessions into a must-win game, and your crowd is already turned on you.
That is the goal when you're playing a struggling team on the road.
Yep.
Take the crowd out of it, get the crowd to turn on them.
Yep.
Yeah, it's an impossible question to answer, but it's the question I asked going into this segment. 9-2 is the best record in the league. Are the Cardinals the best team? And I don't think it's an answerable question right now because we haven't seen what they're going to look like again after this bye.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to win 2 of 3 games without DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray, if you would have told me that at the beginning of the year you're gonna miss them for 3 games in a row, it didn't matter who was on the schedule. I'm saying that's 3 losses. It wasn't. It was 2 wins. So, my tendency is to say, yeah, the Cardinals are the best team because of the way they have taken care of what's in front of them.
I'm going to announce that, yes, I think they are the best team right now. I think Green Bay is close. I think those two teams are probably at the tops of my list. But like you, I look at how this football team feels about itself now that they got a second performance like that from Colt McCoy. Mm-hmm. It's no different. Well, it is different. It's similar to Frank Kaminsky stepping in with JaVale McGee and carrying the Suns while D.A. was gone. And then when D.A. gets back, the team is even sturdier because of the experience. I think the Cardinals are going to be experiencing some of that. The one thing that I would just guard against is there's a tremendous sense of accomplishment around this Cardinals team right now because of what they just went and did. And now you're going into Thanksgiving. I hope this football team doesn't lose its edge. I don't think it will, but it's a worry of mine.
I don't think it will either, but yeah, you have to be worried about it. It's time for Character Counts, brought to you by Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Today's nominee is 17-year-old Trevor Brown High School senior Alex Rivera. In Alex's senior season, he led Trevor Brown to its first winning record since 2009. He earned 2021 6A Desert Southwest All-Region First-Team Honors as his team's starting quarterback and was nominated for the Ed Doherty Award, a high school football player of the year achievement. All of this followed a determined recovery from back-to-back season-ending surgeries. Off the field, Alex has managed to keep his grades up with a 4.44 GPA, which is 16th in his senior class. While football season is over, Rivera is not done competing. He will do so at the DECA event, which prepares students in marketing, finance, hospitality, and management. That is Alex Rivera, this week's nominee for Character Counts. If you know a local high school student that shows great character, go to charactercountsaz.com and enter them to win a $10,000 scholarship courtesy of Parker and Sons. Coming up next, we'll get rebooted. Sarah Cazell will take us through the Rush Hour reboot. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata Mornings. Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. That's American-owned and American-dreamed Brooklyn Betting.
Good morning. Welcome into the Rush Hour Reboot, everyone, here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. I am Sarah Cazell with Dan Bickley, Vince Murata, and Jarrett Carlin. Like we always do at 7:30, we take you through the biggest stories of the day. So let's start with a pair of reports, guys, pertaining to the Arizona Cardinals. I just had it in my update. But for those who are tuning me out, let me repeat myself. Just kidding. Nothing has been announced by the team just yet, but our John Gambadoro reports that the Cardinals are cutting Chris Drebler, and ESPN's Adam Schefter says that the Cardinals will sign Trace McSorley from the Ravens practice squad. So, Dan, Vince, do you guys think this is just a matter of the Cardinals wanting to move on from Chris Drebler, seeing like, okay, this is what we were going to get and we don't care? Or is it an indication, potentially, of where Kyler Murray is with that ankle? What do you guys think?
I think it's more the former. I'm leaving open the possibility that we're making assumptions when it comes to Kyler Murray. But sure. I'm looking at it more to the point where they looked that in the face this week and thought, oh, man, we nearly had to go into a game with Chris Streveler as our starting quarterback. Yeah. And they're not comfortable with it. So that to me, is where I kind of land on that.
I'm hoping that it's more a recognition of similarity between the quarterbacks. Chris Streveler is just such an anomaly with his skill set, and the skill set really doesn't involve throwing.
That is problematic.
Which is kind of problematic for a quarterback. It was an experiment. They liked Chris Streveler for a really long time. You know, he got pressed into duty in a bad game against Carolina, but he doesn't look like an NFL quarterback to me, so I'm hoping it's nothing tied to fear on Kyler Murray's ankle.
Sure. So
but I don't know.
More benefit for like a scout squad perspective. Hey, Trace McSorley, you can give us these different looks that will actually be useful to us. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to say goodbye to Chris Streveler.
I will remember you.
Streveler, the leveler.
Right.
Join the team in 2020. 7 games played over 2 seasons, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, 141 yards passing. Vince, how will you guys remember Chris Streveler?
You want me to go first, Vinny?
Please.
To me, it's kind of a cautionary tale of always trying to find the next fill in the blank in the NFL.
And that blank was Taysom Hill.
That blank was Taysom Hill. It also kind of speaks to the arrogance I think the Cardinals were guilty of at that time, thinking that they had unearthed this player that nobody else kind of knew about. And they tried to, I mean, he was part of what they were doing from the get-gate until Kyler Murray said no more of that.
Within a year, he went from taking plays away from Kyler Murray to being cut from the team.
And so Kyler Murray saying, hey, you know, it's kind of dumb to take me off the football field, which it is, especially when you're bringing in a guy that can only do one thing, so you're basically telling the defense what's coming.
Right.
And then on top of it all, then that guy's your backup quarterback, and we all saw how that played out at the end of last year, and that was no bueno.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's just, it was a nice story while it lasted, but be careful of always trying to find the next Sean McVay, the next Taysom Hill, the next this, that, the third.
I'll remember Chris Trevler from being entertained by him during the preseason game against Dallas this past summer.
Okay.
You know, he got some extended run, ran for 55 yards in that game, was kind of bowling over players and earning that nickname, the Leveler. I tip my cap to you, Chris Streveler. Godspeed. He'll probably be back or never actually officially cut.
I feel like donating money to rescue some dogs now for some reason.
Please
yeah,
do.
No, he's going to have to be cut. I mean, again, you sign a guy off your practice, another team's practice squad, you've got to put him on your active roster.
For at least 3 weeks.
That's the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Cliff Kingsbury yesterday on with Wolf and Luke, as he always is on Mondays. And the guys asked him why he thinks the Cardinals are 9-2. Kingsbury said the team is focused on improving every single week, and that's showing.
You know, in this league, you got to have some good breaks. But I think more than anything, like I said, our focus each week has just been improving that week. We've never set a goal out in front of us 3 or 4 weeks ahead. It's about, hey, how can we get better this week? How can we improve this week? And win, lose, or draw, our guys have shown up on Tuesday ready to get after it and do that. And I think that's what's allowed us to keep our focus and stay in the moment and get where we're at right now.
Okay, with all this talk about improving, Dan and Vince, where have you seen the most improvement from the start of the season to now? Be it position group, an individual player, play calling, what have you seen improve the most?
Ooh.
That's a tough question because the first offering we had from the Cardinals was just a very thorough defeat of a good football team, so...
I don't know, man. It's maybe their red zone offense, which was an issue early on in Cliff Kingsbury's career. That's a tough question to answer.
Yeah. Quick starts.
Good question. That's I like that answer because that really is something that they have done very, very well most of this year, and they've gotten better at it. Winning coin tosses and starting fast.
Winning the coin toss, yes. Yeah,
they've become very good.
They're very good at winning the coin toss, indeed. All right, let's move to the Phoenix Suns. 13 straight wins now. The Booker's dozen, as they call it, as Jarrett calls it. A 115-111 win last night over the Spurs in San Antonio. Here's DeAndre Ayton after the game, who had 21 and 14 rebounds. He said, yeah, it's cool to have the streak going, of course, but that's not their focus.
You know, I'm glad we have a swag and a mentality where, you know, we just winning games working on us. I'm not trying to just go out here and just beat teams, but we're working on something way bigger than what the league is thinking. You know what I'm saying? Especially for the long, long run. You know, so we know it's a long season. But it's just us doing the right things and playing our type of game and us playing together like how we always do. Just, you know, just fulfilling our culture like we've always been. And you're not changing.
All right. How long do you think this win streak lasts? They have 3 more games on this road trip.
Yeah.
Ending with the Brooklyn Nets.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Cavs are no slouch either. Cleveland tomorrow.
Yeah.
The Knicks on Friday. The Nets on Saturday. Then they come home to play the Golden State Warriors.
I'm voting Knicks on Friday.
That's where it ends?
Yeah. Okay. And then they rebound with a raucous win over the Nets.
Yeah, I think 14 or 15 is the number. I just don't see the Suns going post-Thanksgiving to New York and Brooklyn on back-to-back nights and getting 2 wins.
Yes.
I might be wrong, but...
No, I think you're right.
Yeah.
But that might appeal to them. Again, that's the really crazy thing is this winning streak has been comprised of good performances, certainly nowhere near the Sun ceiling.
Mm-hmm. All right, sticking with the 13 theme.
Ooh.
Who is your favorite 13?
Oh, that's a good
in
question.
In sports.
That's the Valley's lucky number.
Steve Nash.
Kurt Warner.
Says a lot.
James Harden.
James Harden at ASU, yep.
That's an unbelievably weird coincidence.
It is.
Yeah.
Jordan Baczynski.
Oh!
I don't know.
Medrick Cummings. Cedric Bonner.
Okay, wow.
Elsewhere,
off the
Dan
top
Marino.
Of your head?
That was pretty good off the top of his head.
Wilt Chamberlain. Who's your top?
This
13?
Is why we never do jersey number Mock My Worlds, because after the second round, Vince would have to pick for all of us.
Yeah, he would.
he totally would.
Let me That's say right. this. 13, I think, I'm a numbers guy and a uniform guy. I hate the way it looks on a uniform. I just can't stand the number.
Okay.
Does that make sense to anybody?
Is it the shape of the three?
I don't know. I just don't like the number 13.
Is it because it looks like a B slightly separated?
Maybe that's it. I don't know. Favorite 13. It's got to be. It's tied. 50% Nash, 50% Warner, if you're a Phoenix sports fan.
Yeah. I'm going to give the slight edge to Kurt Warner because the Suns were good before. The Cardinals being good was never part of the plan. For 20-plus years in Arizona, and that guy, more than anybody, changed it.
Jake Plummer would beg to differ.
Did
Kurt Warner ever beat the Cowboys in Dallas in the playoff?
Should we make this a social studies poll? Top 13 in Arizona sports?
Yeah, that's
Jared?
Good.
All right.
Yeah, what are the Nash, Warner?
He's shaking his head at me. He doesn't want to do it.
Harden wore 13
Harden
at ASU.
ASU.
Zach yeah. Greinke?
Okay. He did not wear 13.
No, he was listed as a 13 at some point.
He's just a 13.
He was out of 10?
He was 13 years old at one point.
all right. Well, that's it for the Rush Hour reboot. But
okay.
She's not 13, but it is my mom's birthday today. And I know she is listening. Cause she's
Patty!
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday, Mrs. Kazell.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Patty.
Love you. Patty Kazell.
I called her Patty.
Is she
the type
totally.
That does not want her age revealed?
I would assume so.
Yeah, that's a good policy with any female, Jerry.
I know. It's, why? Why are they? Why are females? So
and at certain points, most males.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank
guys.
You, Sarah.
Rush Hour reboot mornings at 7:30. Coming up next, another Tuesday staple: turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, and facial hair.
Right.
All rolled into one. Mustache, not a mustache, just straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Mustache, not a mustache.
A mustache, a mustache, a mustache. Big mustache, thick mustache. My mustache, your mustache. Say the word mustache. A mustache, a mustache. Now we both have said mustache. A mustache, a mustache. If you only got a mustache.
You guys have a great Thanksgiving, right. Gobble gobble.
It is time for a Thanksgiving edition. That was Jake Plummer, by the way, if you remember on our show many years ago. Thanksgiving edition of Mustache, Not a Mustache, America's fastest growing facial hair related quiz sensation. And here's what's
going to
happen.
Wait, you didn't give Bick?
I know, I did it out of order this time.
You really did.
Jake Plummer threw me off. It's time for America's fastest growing facial hair related quiz sensation, Mustache.
Not a Mustache.
That's good. We got to get in the right frame of mind here. And this is a Thanksgiving edition because as we head into the feast of delicious roasted bird, as it's known throughout the world.
Outside
the
of
world?
Dan
no,
Bickley.
Not through the world at all, actually.
No one else does Thanksgiving.
No, I know. I'm having Thanksgiving with my Israeli mother-in-law and my Israeli cousins this Thursday. And for two of them, it's their first Thanksgiving ever.
Wow.
Is that right?
They don't celebrate it
in
Israel.
Yeah, that would make sense.
So
that's cool.
They have lots of other holidays, though. Anyway, so I'm going to present you with a sound bite of some sort from a movie, a TV show, a song, or an interview. And you'll have to tell me whether the person talking or singing has a mustache or does not have a mustache. And then if you identify the person, you get a bonus point. And all clues will have something to do with Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Either the name of the band, the name of the song, a lyric. They'll mention something with food or the autumn. So you'll get it, obviously.
All
We've
right.
done a lot of themed ones. As we know, last week, you could fill in the blank for me, one. It was a big win by...
I never remember. I don't know.
Dan Bickley, since your birthday is the closest, and we're just talking about birthdays, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go first.
Okay, you will go first, and you will start with a musical clue, as we like to start with.
Sometimes I cannot feel my face.
That's funny. That's pretty funny. That would be Jonathan Davis from Korn, and I can see him both ways. I'm definitely a mustache.
Yeah, you got it.
A terrible mustache.
Yeah, a bad mustache.
Dark, wispy mustache, which is not a great look. All right, like 2 points.
Dan setting the tone.
All right.
Pressure's on already.
Oh, stop.
Vince?
Yes.
The world is a vampire.
That is Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins. Not a mustache.
That is
great band name, by the way.
It is. It is a good band name.
Are you a fan of the band?
And a terrible thing to do to your neighbors.
It really is.
Vandalism on Halloween always gave me agita. I never was the type that liked that kind of stuff. I had friends that were TPing, shaving cream, smashing pumpkins and
lighting stuff on fire, turning over cars. Absolute mayhem.
Absolute mayhem. All right, 2-2 here. And Dan?
Think you can make it, Pilgrim?
Hey, Pilgrim, you're going to need a couple of stitches. Whoa, take her easy there, Pilgrim.
That would be John Wayne, not a mustache.
That would be correct, and that would be correct.
Really glad I bought these $4 headphones, Vinny. Barely hear anything.
Oh, really?
They already
I'm
shot?
I'm such an idiot.
Well, you know, Hanukkah is literally right around the corner.
Literally.
It's this weekend.
By the way, that John Wayne, what an actor.
Yeah. He could play everything from a soldier to a cowboy. And that's it.
And that's it. That's right.
Remember we got in a big argument with people about whether or not John Wayne was a real cowboy?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was when there were no sports.
That is true. That is true.
We had the time.
All right. Vince?
Yes.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
That is the legendary John Facenda.
Indeed.
He's a legendary voice. Probably couldn't pick him out of a lineup, but I'm guessing not a mustache.
Yeah, you got it. He looks kind of like the guy from the Twilight Zone.
Rod Serling?
Rod Serling, yeah. He's a very, like...
Not a mustache?
Not a mustache. You got it.
4-4. Four, right.
Four. Okay, getting a little more difficult now, potentially.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Dan?
Your hand in mine, we walk the miles. But thanks to you, it will be done. For you to me, I'm the only one.
Robert Plant, not a mustache.
There you go. You got it. You got it. I was not familiar with that song from Led Zeppelin, but they do thank people in it. So
yeah,
there
I had no
there
clue
be
until
no
I hit those
song
notes.
You're not familiar with by Led Zeppelin,
no,
just so you know.
Yeah, no, he's very good. All right, Vince.
Led Zeppelin, he's very good.
Yeah, so is Leonard Skinner. He's really good, too.
Ed Zeppelin, he's great.
Ed Zeppelin.
All right, Vince.
Yeah.
Give thanks and praises to the moon skies. Give thanks and praises so high.
I'm going Bob Marley mustache.
You got it. You got it.
Good call.
6-6.
Another song I was not familiar with, but.
What's the name of that song?
Thank You or something like that. I don't know. I closed it. But it's something.
Give thanks and praises.
That's it. Exactly it. The beat and saying that you're high in the song gives it away,
right.
I think. All right. Dan?
Okay.
You want to hurt me? Go right ahead if it makes you feel any better. I'm an easy target. Yeah, you're right. I talk too much. I also listen too much. I could be a cold-hearted cynic like you. But I don't like to hurt people's feelings.
Oh, boy. I can't hear a taste of that again, can I?
You can hear a little bit. Just a little taste.
You want to hurt me?
All right.
Go right ahead if it makes you feel any
John
better.
Candy mustache.
Oh, you got it. That was it.
At clutch. First, I heard Dan Aykroyd, and at the very end of it, I'm like, what would Dan Aykroyd have anything to do with Thanksgiving?
No, what was his character's name in that movie again?
Del Griffith.
Del Griffith. That's right.
All right. Vinny?
Oh, big pull. 8-6, Bick with the lead.
You can start by wiping that dumbass smile off your rosy cheeks. Then you can give me a automobile, a Datsun, a Toyota, a Mustang, a Buick, four wheels and a seat.
This is one where I could have got the 2 points without hearing the clip because I knew it was coming.
Did you?
Yes. Steve Martin, not a mustache.
You got it. All right.
We should have a press play in this game where you get extra points or you win automatically if you can guess the next clue without hearing
that's
it.
That's true. But then I could always just play something differently. All right. Here we go, Dan.
So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die.
That would be Don McLean, but this is where it's going to get interesting. This is where I might lose the game. That era and that genre of music often is a nice big furry mustache, but in this case, I'm going to say no mustache.
Yes, no mustache. Right. Well done. That was good logic, though, because it was, yes, the hippie era, but
yes,
he was kind of a straight-laced fellow.
You have a perfect score right now.
All right, and this is to tie him.
No pressure, Vinny.
I need three strikes in the 10th frame to tie it up.
I don't think he's going to go just one wrong.
Love to eat.
Could have guessed this one too.
Love to eat turkey, cause it's good. Love to eat the turkey like a good boy should.
Adam Sandler, not a mustache.
That's excellent.
Adam Sandler, not a mustache, and we are tied.
We are.
Ooh. Tiebreaker time.
Tiebreaker time.
What do you got cooked up for us, Jared?
This is very easy.
Is it?
As he stalls,
this is going to be a lame tiebreaker. I admittedly didn't have one. What was the box office gross for Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? The box office gross.
When you're preparing the game, Jared. I'm going to message Jared my answer. Are we going domestic or global?
Oh, boy, here we go with that again. The population of Seattle Metro is 4 million, Jarrett, not 700,000.
We're going for U.S.
You emailed him?
Yeah, I put my guess in.
Okay.
I will guess $36.8
million. Okay, you said $36.8 million. Vince said $175 million. The answer is $49 million.
Yes!
0.5 million.
Yes!
And Dan Bickley wins a movie.
Wow.
A question there.
Never would have thought that would happen.
Only 49 million?
Yeah, well, you better look that up. He always messes up the answers on the tiebreaker.
That's true. But first of all, it was a different era, if you remember, in movies, where making 100 million, just 100 million, was a huge,
back
huge
in that
number.
Era, the movies only cost a nickel.
True. Anyway.
We used to go watch a doubleheader.